Blog Talk Radio. V-S-28.
Let me read it for you. It says, well, it reads, you shall not make any cutting in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. Should you have tattooed your body already, not knowing that particular scripture, I tell you to just ask God for forgiveness. And he will probably forgive you, just as he forgave the woman that they were about to stone to death. And what he told this lady, well, what he said to the crowd is, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. And no one cast the stone. So the woman, Jesus told the woman to go her way and to sin no more. And you'll find that in the book of John, chapter 8, verses 7 to 11. And I believe that since you have tattoos on your body and you did not know that that's something that goes against God, and it is found in the Old Testament, he will forgive you if you ask for forgiveness, since you did not know that. And of course, I do tell my listeners to read in the Old Testament, and I'll tell you about that later. Why do that? I consider the Bible to be the Word of God, and you're not to exclude the Old Testament. Now let me talk about a little bit about Halloween. I ask myself, what do you not know about Halloween, Sandra? Well, I went to the computer. Allow me to share with you what I have found. The colors associated with Halloween are black, the color of darkness or death, and orange, the color of the fall season. Notice in late October, the leaves on the trees turn. Notice the foliage. It's really a beautiful color here in Michigan, and probably in your state as well. Now, while I was looking up Halloween, I saw that hollow has a similar spelling as Halloween. So I wondered if there's a connection to the word hallowed, as in our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, to the word Halloween. By the way, hallowed in the Lord's Prayer means holy. I found no such association between the two words. Thank you, God. And again, hallowed is spelled like H-A-L-L-O-W. And you just add the E-D. Halloween is spelled H-A-L-L-O-W. And you add the E-E-N. So I just wanted to see if there was a connection between those words. And again, there is not. Halloween is celebrated on October 31st. Some people, children, adults, grown-ups, teenagers, they celebrate October 31st by going to parties, playing pranks. Children go through the neighborhood during the evening with a bag, dressed in costumes, usually cartoons or of a cartoon character, saying trick or treat. Again, many adults and children, teenagers, they dress, some of them in grotesque outfits. They wear masks. Other things associated with Halloween are ghost and goblin stories, witches and warlocks, pumpkin carvings, broomsticks, spider web, and candied apples. Oh, my goodness. It is said that Halloween began over 2,000 years ago with a group of people known as the Celts. Today, they live in England, Ireland, Scotland, and Wales. Immigrants from Europe brought Halloween to North America, that is, to the United States of America. This is the beginning of the Celts' New Year, a time to give thanks for the sun god for the harvest. It is also said Halloween was held to honor Samhain, the Lord of the Dead. There was a belief that on the eve of this festival, Samhain, the Lord of the Dead, called together the wicked spirits that within the past 12 months had been condemned to inhabit the bodies of animals. It is also said in modern day, Satanism and witchcraft covens, this is the day when Satan himself comes to fellowship with his followers. Did you know that? She? Well, some of you may have, but this is news for me, and so I'm telling you, Halloween is not a trick. God, she. It is Halloween, excuse me, is a trick. You see, that's the devil getting into my mind to make me read something that is not there. Halloween is a trick. It is not a treat. Halloween is not harmless fun. Do not take part in that celebration. Do not allow your children or grandchildren, if you can help it, to take part in it. It is for followers of Satan. And sin is fun. I went out into the world for a few years. But I'm glad that God saved me, my angels, whoever. The consequences, there are consequences to sin. And they could be deadly sometimes. Satan is going around seeking whatever soul or whomever he can devour. He wants your soul. He wants you to be burned in the lake of fire with him, as stated in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 10. So we know what is going to happen to Satan in the end. He is going to be sent into the lake of fire along with his false prophets and the beasts that were in the book of Revelation that I read to you. Did you know there were two? Satan actually gave his power over to two different beasts in the prophecy of Revelation. Now you'll find that in verse 13 of the book of Revelation. Read Revelation 13. And I was shocked to find out that there were two beasts that Satan gave all his authority to in the book of Revelation. And of course, the good Lord defeated those beasts just as his angels are going to defeat Satan in the end. And this is why I tell you, in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 16, Jesus says, they are in this world, even as I am not of this world. And what I'm trying to say is, we are in this world, and there are things that we are not to partake in. We cannot do everything that the world does, even though they are fun. You do get enjoyment out of them, because I did when I was in the world. and sometimes temptations come along now. Just in that song, Jesus' Love says, you have to walk on through temptation. And that is what I try to do as best as I can, because, and I tell you to do it as well, because at the end of this life, and we don't know when it's going to come, you may have plans for tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow, the next day. Well, tomorrow may never come for you. And this is why I tell you what I do. What I'm doing is I am being obedient to what the Lord told me to do, and that is to feed his sheep. And years later, because I was disobedient, come back, and I was saying, Lord, I don't understand. Maybe you need to tell me something. Maybe that was just an old dream that I had that was not real. If it was real, you need to come back and tell me, because I'm like a sheep. Do you know what they say about sheep? Sheep are humble, and they are easily influenced. They are dull, stupid, you know. So I said, Lord, you have to come back and tell me. He came back and told me, minister unto the people. I got up out of my bed. Oh, no, this is a feed my sheep stuff. And I didn't want to have any part in it. And when I went back to bed that night, after watching a movie, that dream where he was telling me to minister unto the people came right back. Only this time he said, minister unto the people and fear not. I am with you. I got up out of my bed and I sat in the easy chair the rest of the night. You know, go to work the next morning. You know, I was afraid. I didn't want to do what the Lord had told me to do or what I thought. But I find that I feel so much better. It was like, what is it, Jonas in the belly of the whale. He had been told to go to Nineveh and preach to Nineveh. If you don't change your ways, I'm going to destroy. And Jonas didn't want to do it, and he ran. And I ran too for years. But the good Lord didn't swallow me up with a whale. He seen that this was happening. And I said, well, Lord, I'm not doing all this stuff I used to do. But nothing went away until I finally said, okay, I give. This is it. I can't take no more. And it was like a huge weight was lifted off my shoulders. So sheep, those of you who have been told to do God's word, or God has told you to do his thing, God will never tell you to do anything bad. If you've been told to feed God's sheep or whatever, you go ahead on and do it, and you'll feel so much better. Now, those few of you who have been listening to the Feed My Sheep show are aware that I have said at least once before, some pastors, overseers, bishops may tell you that we are under grace, and that's fine. And that not to be concerned with the laws of the Old Testament. This is where I told you earlier that I will come back to it. If anyone, I don't care who they are, in the church or out of the church, should they tell you that you are not to be concerned with the Old Testament, you walk away from them. Get away. Don't listen to what they're saying, because they're feeding you garbage and, in my view, and untrue. I'm telling you, Sandra Harris is telling you to continue to obey the moral laws of the Old Testament. Thank God we don't have to make any more sacrifices, because Jesus did that, you know, to save us from going to the fiery hell. So I thank God. I thank you for sending his only begotten son. And yeah, he did send his son, because when Jesus told me to feed his sheep, even though it was invisible, I was talking with him face to face. I couldn't see his face, but I know him. I know his voice. And that was Jesus. Jesus is alive. He is not dead. Yeah, think I'm crazy if you want. That's all right. It's all right with me for you to say, because I tell you that I actually believe that God is alive. Jesus is alive. He has risen simply because he talked with me when he told me to feed his sheep. Now, let me just go on, because I'll start rambling and rambling and not stop, because I enjoy telling you what I know about what I've read in the Bible. And this is why I tell you to continue with the Old Testament. In the book of Matthew, sheep, chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus says, "Do not think I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Fulfill what, you ask? And I'll answer by saying, whatever is prophesied about him in the Old Testament books, as well as the New Testament, the book of Isaiah, the book of Genesis, those are Old Testament books, and Revelation, the New Testament book. So, while I have the floor, allow me to say this. In the last week of August, I was watching a religious program that I seldom watch. And I was about to turn away, but my mind told me to sit there and watch, and I did. That person probably has many followers and listeners. He was insinuating that President Obama is the cause of what's happening now. It was also stated that he had shifted his position or his policy towards Israel. Our children will be paying for a debt that they did not create. And then he went on to talk about the earthquake in Virginia that was felt through several states, including Michigan, where I am. And he also talked about Hurricane Irene that was flooding several states on the East Coast. And I said, now, this is, my mom, he called me to have a jaw-dropping experience. I mean, this is not right. So I did go into the book of Genesis, and I found where it says, "I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you." Well, I don't know if President Obama's plan curses Israel. This is what he was talking about. And he was, phrase is where God had told Abram to leave his people. And Abram had a son named Isaac. And Isaac had two sons named Esau and Jacob. And, of course, Jacob's name was changed over into Israel. So I'm thinking, well, because maybe, I don't know if President Obama has changed his policy towards Israel. And he was saying that this is why we were being cursed. And I say, no, he's espousing his political agenda, his ideology other than God's agenda. So I went and searched for my book that has the Constitution. I started because I'm saying, well, isn't there something about separation of church and state? You're not supposed to be talking politics. So I went and found my book that has the Constitution, and I didn't find anything about the separation of church and state. I don't know where that came from. So perhaps on this program, I will start espousing my political views. And speaking of reading, over the past summer, I read, and I want you to read, Audacity of Hope, that's spelled AUDACITY, of Hope by Barack Obama. Decision Points by George Bush. Surrender by Kwame Kilpatrick. And if you have a Kindle notebook, you can buy Audacity of Hope for less than what I paid for. I think it's $10 on Kindle, and it is an excellent read. Also, while you're in Kindle, purchase James's Wife, written by yours truly. Now back to my point. The point that I'm trying to make is on that religious program that I seldom watch, I had a jaw-chopping, head-shaking experience in saying no to the rhetoric being espoused or being taught. I want you sheep to know this, that President Obama inherited the dilemma that the United States is in today. Those two wars that we are in, or the United States has, the loss of jobs, the loss of homes, the economy situation, that man did not create that. My people perish by the lack of knowledge. And that's what Hosea says. And I'm thinking that preacher person was espousing his political views in that he knows what's in the Bible. And this is what I want you to understand, sheep, that's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, verse 3. Let me read that to you. It says, Now as he, meaning Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, and there are three things that he asked. They asked, one, tell us when these things will be, referring to the signs of the times and the end of the age, and two, what will be the sign of your coming, and three, the end of the age. And Jesus answered them by saying, take heed that no one deceives you, and that includes me. He says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. But these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. And there will be famines. You know, famine is lack of food, like over in certain African countries. Then pestilence. Pestilence means like something like measles, smallpox, airborne diseases where you sneeze, you can catch it, things that are contagious, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginnings of sorrow. I want you to read the rest of Matthew chapter 24. This is where I tell you, precious sheep, and I want you to understand, do not blame any politician for the things that are going on in the earth, such as natural disasters. But as far as their political views and their policy, I don't know too much about that. Just don't blame, as this person was espousing, I thought, his political rhetoric. Now, sheep, I want you to remember the golden rule. Whatever found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. In Sunday school, they teach you to do unto others as you would have them to do unto them. And also in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And, of course, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill, no abortions, please. Let me have a closing prayer. Father God, do not allow me to misguide your sheep, your flock, with any misinformation or any misguided information. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. In Jesus' name I pray. Remember, sheep, take the Lord along with you wherever you go. And if it's God's will, I'll see you next time. Thank you.
dress, and don't let them fall by the side of the road. And teach them to love one another, and heaven might find a place in their heart. Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know we've got to walk on through temptation, for His love and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and pray that Jesus is love. He won't let you down,